A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. This Sunday's Gospel and Easter message continues with the story of the recognition of Jesus by the two on the road to Emmaus. After their hearts began to burn from all that he'd explained, and then upon recognizing him in the breaking of the bread, and how they had rushed back to tell the other disciples. And now, while that was going on, today's gospel takes place. While they were still speaking, he stood among them. They were frightened. They were amazed. They were overjoyed. They had questions. He attempted to get them to see, to realize, to believe. And, of course, then there's this kind of amazing, summarizing conclusion to the whole narrative that brings together the cross, the resurrection, and where we go from here. It's as if Jesus had been trying to explain this to the disciples while he was alive. He had said, in some ways, "This is what I'd spoken to you while I was still with you. How, if you really understood profoundly the scriptures, all of this would make sense." The same thing that happened with the disciples on the road to Emmaus when he said to them, "But didn't you see that these events about which you were speaking had to take place?" And then he opened up the scriptures for them and they got their minds around it. And so likewise today, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And for us, what does it mean opening our minds? Opening our minds, perhaps even mind-expanding, mind-boggling, blowing our minds. How can we get our minds around all that this Easter season truly celebrates? Namely, that Christ would suffer, that the Christ would rise, and that repentance would be preached in his name. So, the whole theme of Lent, of the cross, of the Triduum, that somehow this had to happen, that somehow the suffering takes place, that somehow the mystery is that Paschal mystery, that somehow to enter deeply into the mystery of God and the mystery of life itself, that this entrance into is never pain-free. the mystery of love itself, never pain-free, and how to get our minds around that, that to love is to suffer. For the Christ, who so loved us, that that could have happened apart from suffering, and so that the Christ would suffer. But that that's not the bottom line, which is what Easter basically celebrates. That's not the bottom line, that there's more to life than that suffering. There's more to life than death, because God is a God of power. God is a God of life. That's what Jesus had already taught about the resurrection. And therefore, he himself would come through that, would break through it, that there would be that kind of breakthrough to a new way of being, a new kind of living, a new form of life, and that then, out of that, our conversion takes place. The word in the text is repentance. We could use the word metanoia, a turning around. I like the word conversion, that conversion would be preached in his name. That somehow these two things, both conversion and its being connected, linked to his name, to Jesus Christ, and that this conversion or repentance has something to do with forgiveness, as it does in another text, in one of the other resurrection narratives in the Gospel of John, where Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the holy breath, the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they shall be forgiven." That imparting of the Holy Spirit connected with the forgiveness of sins. And likewise in the text today, that conversion would be preached to all the nations, a conversion that's connected with forgiveness and mercy and love. Just take the word conversion for a moment. Perhaps we think we've gone through that. It's now the Easter season. That's done and gone. Been there, done that. Celebrated Lent. But Easter season itself is about that continuing conversion as this mystery of the unleashing of the Holy Spirit among us continues to take shape within us and through us as we look toward Pentecost. So that we don't just wait till Pentecost to celebrate this feast of the Holy Spirit, but it's already that Spirit that the Christ would suffer and rise in order that the Spirit might be given to us. Conversion. We talk about it so often, such an easy word. Yet, if we're honest with ourselves, if I'm honest with myself, I don't want any more conversion in life. I've had enough of them. Conversion is a radical kind of thing. It requires us sometimes to restructure ourselves, our identities, our lives, our relationships, our ways of being in the world. And that's what it's all about. Do I want more conversion? No, I'm scared of it. No wonder the disciples were amazed, overjoyed, frightened, because that's what, in a way, Easter also means: joy, amazement, fear. What does it mean? What does it ask of us? What is this risen Christ about? If we really believe that Jesus has been raised, if we believe in resurrection, we believe that tomorrow doesn't have to be the same as yesterday. And we know that my path in life tomorrow will not be the same as it's been. It's a continuing journey. And that's connected to in his name. This is what is being preached in his name. This is what is being preached, namely suffering, resurrection, and conversion. And it's all connected to Jesus Christ, that this conversion can unfold within us, that we can live through a new Easter season, and oh, it's not just Easter again, another liturgical season, but it's our being renewed again, our being converted again, are being recreated again. Something new, totally new, about to happen again. It's about all of that because of our own closeness to, connection to, life with, love for Jesus Christ. Easter, resurrection, is about the power of God at work in us through Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, who continues to give us the power of his very own Spirit. And so as this is preached throughout the world in his name, it's the risen Christ's invitation to us to join him in this new life. And that means opening ourselves, we might say, to new wineskin, to transfiguration, to all things being made new. It opens us to facing the fear that we face in the midst of this unknown beauty and reality and love and mercy of an infinite sort that's incomprehensible that lies before us. But it's this that Jesus wants to open our minds to, that Jesus opened the minds of the disciples on the road to Emmaus to, and is now in our text today opening the minds of the other disciples as well. But likewise for us today, to be calm, to be still, and just to be, so that we too might not be afraid, but embrace the coming transformation that Christ is asking of us.